This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Singer at the table with Barry and Mariana. The results are in.
They are indeed. The National Swiss Piers in Tauranga, taken out by Brett Glass and Gary Foydlock. From Hamilton, or Huntley, in fact.
That's pretty cool. Nice write-up.
Patrick and Julie were sort of table one for most of the event. Just got run over right at the end, so they still held on for second day.
That's good. In terms of boards, tricky boards?
There's always tricky boards. And Swiss pairs is always a bit, things happen and sometimes nothing you can do about them. I know in the last round we had a hand where South had 21 points. Balance 21, something like 4-4-3-2 shape. On the other hand was 2-3-4-4 shape with an 11 count. So 32 points between them. And at our table, it just went 3 no trumps, basically. That made 5. That was pretty disastrous for us. Most pairs getting to 6. So we sat there with no points and watched them bid 3 no trumps and then make it. And they had to take our medicine. And we lost the match.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but hey, look, that always goes both ways. But I mean, it's a bit frustrating when things like that. I reckon that's probably quite a good tip. I think the tip is, and there are obviously a few pairs disagreeing with me at the National Pairs, that if you've got 2 balanced hands, 32 points is probably usually not enough for slam. You probably need a little bit more. You either need a 5-card suit or you need some really chunky-looking 4-card suits or something a little bit special about your hands to have a chance of 3 no trumps with just 32 points.
So does that mean that you shouldn't be looking for slam?
I guess that's what I'm saying. I think if you're flat, you've got to come to 12 tricks. It's a lot of tricks.
It is a lot.
And if you haven't got a 5-card suit or at least a couple of good 4-card suits, then 12 tricks is a long way away.
What do you lead when it's 2 no trumps, 3 no trumps, and you're looking at nothing and your partner hasn't squeaked at all? What do you reckon is a good lead? Are you looking for your chunky suits in your hand as well? Or are you going to try and hide those when you're in a lead situation?
You haven't got much. I mean, and they haven't looked for a major. I guess you tend to lead a major ahead of a minor in that there was no stamen, there was no transfer. So maybe partners more likely to have a major than a minor. Pretty obvious that some minor cards are going to go down in dummy. So maybe it might be best to look for a major. Sometimes you're just looking for something safe. You just love to have top of a sequence, even if it was 10, 9, 8, 7.
Whoa, here he comes again. Fast thing. Who's that with? Ethel. Is that you, Ethel?
Last week I directed and there was this really big muck up with the scoring system. And I keep thinking back to when we spoke with Bob about the compass system. He said, don't worry about the system that's in. Wait till 2026 for when the updated compass program is released. I can't wait for that, Barry.
What was the scoring problem that you're talking about?
There was 4 scorers in the room and each gave some valuable information about what to do. But in the end, we had to reach out for the local support person. So good on Mike Neils. He came to the party and we fixed it, I think, around about board 5.
So what had actually happened?
It had been trying to run something else before the Tuesday session started. So it wasn't connecting to the Bridgemates. We checked that they were on the right channel. One of them wasn't, and that fixed it. But then they were on the right channel, and it still wouldn't do. So we go in there, and somebody deleted it, and we started again. That didn't help. So someone else came and had a look at it and gave some suggestions, and that didn't help. And then the last person stepped up and said, try this. That didn't help. I had to get on the phone and ring for compass support, which finally worked after doing the exact same thing that everybody else did. It was who knows, and I don't want to know. So we're going to try again tomorrow.
It's great fun being a director. Mariana's just loving it, guys.
The director thing is one thing, but the scoring, when you actually don't know, and I must admit that I have had some feedback saying I don't like to direct because I don't know how to do the score, and that can be an issue. So I can't wait for the resources which are coming from NZB about scoring and that. And I wonder if all clubs will actually run the same program. What do you think? Do you think it would be better if we all ran the same program?
I don't know. I'm not the right person to talk to you about this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it does seem to me like none of the scoring programs are perfect. They all have their flaws and their dramas. I guess if one of them was way better than any of the others, everybody would be using it. But it doesn't That's seem right. to be that way.
That's right. Mm. But yeah, so it got going. And it didn't matter how many notes I took when each person came in, wasn't going to fix it. But it is really unnerving when you're using a platform that you don't know anything about.
I haven't done much directing in recent years. It was mainly because of the scoring. Yeah, I didn't want to be doing the scoring.
Yeah.
I sort of gave up. I don't know how many other people are in that boat.
Ifayakine. Coming up next is the message from Alan Morris, the chair of NZ Bridge.
One of the other big changes, of course, is Congress. So I guess that came up, and I know you're not in charge of Congress, Alan. How's that looking at this early stage?
Pretty good. Congress, of course, as you know, is November. I think the last count we had was something like 50 teams registered. So that's not too bad this early on in the piece.
I was wondering how that looked in comparison with previous years.
It's looking pretty good, but I don't want to be over optimistic about it or confident about it. I would like the message to clubs to talk to their players to give it a go, particularly in the junior and intermediate level. We know Congress has a lot of benefits, not only about the play and the cut and thrust of the tournament, but about building friendships and the social side of it as well. We are very keen to encourage as wide a participation as possible and saying to clubs and their members, their players, that it isn't as daunting as it might sound.
I remember talking to Richard Solomon some years ago now on the show here, saying that whenever you change venues, numbers tend to drop off a little bit for the first year or so. And I guess you're just probably a bit nervous about that.
Yeah, sometimes your hand is forced that we had to make the shift anyway.
Yes, yep.
We're trying to promote it. We're trying to encourage it. We're trying to encourage our friends from across the ditch to come over and participate. And we think the venue is a good venue. It's in a good locale. Restaurants and motels and hotels are pretty close by.
What about the price? I thought that there was a marked increase. Am I right with that?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a marked increase. There is a minor increase. We've done away with the discount for early payment. For 8 days of bridge, it's still pretty cheap.
I see.
Entertainment. What else has happened? The National Conference, which is of the regional committees, took place following the AGM for a day and a bit. So through that, we talked about the regional championships for 2026, which is likely to be a hybrid model with a round robin played online and a finals regime immediately prior to Congress 2026.
Oh, okay.
That's just one day, isn't it, Alan?
One day. It'll be the Friday. It'll start about 1 o'clock and be played as a final. Hopefully people in the late afternoon or the second session will gather as they used to. Barry, you may recall, in Hamilton, where people came and watched on ViewGraph and there was a lot of commentary and a few glasses of wine and but chatter. It was good and you got behind your team or whatever. We're trying to kind of reestablish that vibe.
Technology's made that a bit better. I can remember, and this is a long time ago now, being in the closed room when the final was being held, where I had to be on the phone to tell the people that were doing the view graph what was happening. I mean, it's hard to believe now, but there was no, you couldn't see what cards were being played. I have to say what had been led, and you could hear a roar down the phone occasionally from the audience. Seems like a century ago now, but
I hope technology works better now.
ViewGraph is magic now compared to what it was then.
I think that format's going to be really good. It's going to be nice and quick.
Less expensive to run it facilitates that sort of round robin arrangement. Something will come out about that in the not too distant future. Congress 25, we talked about business planning and budgeting from a national perspective will be completed by the end of November this year. One of the calls from the members at the AGM was that we produce a five-year plan with some five-year forecasting, which we will do, which will give at least the members, being our clubs, an insight into what is happening and the financial management of the organisation. Then there was a small session on marketing and the support that's being offered on the marketing front and the uptake that we've had in particularly social media and most recently the uptake in print and voice media. So it was a lot that we took place when we issued a bit of tongue-in-cheek about Bridge being the new Tinder that got picked up by national press. We got something like 45 minutes on ZB one day. So we've had about $130,000 worth of PR on the media of recent. So that's good.
What's the membership nationwide looking like at the moment, Alan? Is it?
Thank you for asking that question, because that's where I was going to wrap up. So we started at the end of 23. We had 12,900 and something odd members throughout the country. That dropped during the course of 24 down to 12,100, which is a bit concerning. And there are a lot of reasons for that. We're now sitting at about 12,500. We normally get a drop off at the end of the year as clubs kind of redo their membership and people come and go, and then it climbs as clubs run their beginner lessons. So we're up around 12.5, 12.6 at the moment. It highlighted concerns about retention. In fairness to the clubs, I think clubs have done an excellent job in getting people through the front door, but retaining them has not been as good as one would like, either, I think, from a club level or from a national level. So we spent a good, or the second part of the national conference on the Sunday, just dealing with retention issues. And so we will release a paper shortly of some of the initiatives that were put forward and discussed about how clubs can look at retention as a strategic element in their planning, rather than just let's hope people stay. The amount of money that gets invested in getting people through the door, retaining people is critical.
Yeah,
for sure. This year, Hamilton, we had about 50 learners, which is huge for us. This year, they're continuing to play after the lessons. And luckily enough, they've sort of got a big enough group that they can just carry on playing until the end of the year in their own separate group. Obviously, they're welcome to play in the club as well if they want. We're hoping that'll help. It's really hard retaining them. There's no two ways about that.
Yeah. So we talked about a lot of approaches to what we do, why people play the game, why people don't play. People come to lessons and say, it's not for me, it's too difficult, it's not social, a whole raft of reasons why that might happen. So what can we do about that? What can we do about when people migrate from the lessons into a club and how do you support them? And there's some techniques that were put on the table.
Club Bridge during the day seems to be holding up. Night Bridge is a real problem. So all of those things were thrown into the melting pot, and it's no good training somebody through a program for 10 weeks or whatever it might take, and then they don't stay. It's quite a big investment. So we're trying to find the tools that help in that regard. The learning material, which is now being trialed, I mentioned earlier in the conversation, that's all designed to try and help people. The concept is you get people playing a lot quicker than going through 10 weeks of lectures, 2 weeks and then play, maybe another 2 weeks and play. So a lot more play early on in the piece. So people get into the habit of actually playing the cards than trying to remember quite a complex game.
I don't think you get any argument from any of the clubs that retention is just one of the toughest things.
It's really tough.
The retention thing, I mean, lots of clubs tried lots of things. Actually, I was just talking to a guy the other day from that I work with that did take lessons, and the reason he left was somebody else that was doing the lesson was a bit grumpy. He thought, oh, I can't be bothered with this. And so he didn't go back. It was actually one of the other learners.
If that's going on for the teacher to get rid of it, sometimes it's the teacher isn't right either. And the teacher is fundamentally the ambassador. They're the first people that beginners experience. So you need good teachers that are supported by their clubs. And you need the clubs to get in behind these beginners to start with and sort of hold them and cuddle them and do all those sorts of things. That they're welcome.
He's a very good cuddler.
He's a good cuddler.
Only if you're lucky enough to have like over 20 beginners and one of them is a bit grumpy or whatever with some of the others, it's probably quite hard to keep an eye on something like that. And they could easily slip through the cracks.
I think you'd notice it, to be honest, Barry. You've been in that situation. You know somebody who's stepping out of line a little bit, and you just quietly say, look, just tone it down.
I know one thing, it is soul-destroying to do all those months of lessons and then have all these people disappear at the end, or even quite often I think a bad time is, you know, the beginning of the following year when they just don't come back. Even if they're contacted, people have got out of the habit over Christmas and think, oh, I don't know whether I really want to be doing that. That seems to be a bad time for losing.
And you need to kind of pick up the phone and talk to them and encourage them to come back.
I don't know about other clubs. In Hamilton, it's certainly economical to learn how to play bridge. I mean, it doesn't cost a lot.
No.
I've heard that there's a wide range of what the actual tuition fees are. One, whether or not they actually include membership or anything like that, but having a happy chappy or a, you know, something to laugh about during the lessons is definitely a plus as well. Try and keep it as light as possible.
When you look at why people don't stay, I mean, there's lots of reasons why people don't stick with the game. They might find it very difficult. It might not be what they think it is socially. It's too hard. At club level, need to kind of understand why people are joining, why they're learning, and how we encourage them to be part of our club community. Right? And so we've come up with a whole raft of initiatives, which we will share with the clubs, of things that they could do. And some of them are simple things, some of them that many clubs already do. So when players start to join a club session, you know, it's okay with the bigger clubs where they might be able to operate separate sections. When you're in a small club and you're thrust into the club environment, it could be as simple as we have a different colour pen. And if you come to the table and you've got a green pen instead of a red pen, then you treat them with a little bit more delicacy and you don't, you know, jump down their throats, and maybe you're not allowed to double. Just simple things to encourage people to participate. We want to see that happening. Every year with an ageing community, people pass. Then there are people that shift and then they're not connected with the community and they start doing other things. We have people that their spouses become ill and they feel that they can't go out. And then we've seen a lot happen, particularly in metropolitan areas around nighttime bridge and people don't want to drive. Most people learn, I think, for two reasons. One, they want to play socially with their mates.
Yep.
And they've been encouraged, so they learn the basics. And the other is because of the socialising, even in a club environment. And maybe even in the club environment, we've got to think about that a little bit more around ensuring that we don't lose that social content. We get a bit fixated around the competition part of it. But again, it's understanding why people are learning and which grade or part of the game they want to play. For instance, take Hamilton. There may well be a group who just want to play socially. And so you kind of set up that in a social environment and then those that are a lot more competitive who want a bit of cut and thrust.
I mentioned on the show a number of times before that, and we always say, oh, yeah, that's true. The fact is that of everything you teach them, you're lucky if they remember 30%. of what you teach them. I think it's probably less than that. And you get people say, oh, you should be teaching the beginners to do this. You should be teaching them how to use the dishwasher. There's all these things that you should be teaching them. Well, if they're only going to remember 30% of it, I don't know that we need to be trying to add more things into the lessons.
Stick with the basics.
Did you say that the new resources are already up on the website?
No, I said they're being trialed at the moment.
Oh, right.
They've been completed in terms of their development. There's a bit of tweaking required that some of the teachers have found out. They're using Graham Tufnell's website so they can practice the hands time and time and time and time again. Graham Tufnell's made that available at no cost. So there's some really good material coming through.
It's great.
I'm starting to wonder, Mariana, what do you think? Do you think on New Year's Day 2026, when Alan Morris wakes up in the morning and he's not the chairman of New Zealand Bridge anymore, he's going to wake up and think, what the hell am I going to do for the rest of the year?
No, I don't think so, Barry. I do not think so.
Your phone calls will drop in number.
No, I don't, actually. I'm pretty good around that. New Zealand Bridge is lucky with Alistair. He fields a load of calls. He's pretty prompt at responding to a lot of things. He takes a lot of the heat. I don't get too much, to be honest.
Yeah, he does a great job.
Am I going to wake up and think, oh, I've got this massive void in my life? I'll have more time. Some weeks are very busy and some weeks aren't quite so busy. A couple of days a week, perhaps.
There's a wee bit more of the message from Ella Morris, the chair. We'll share some more with you next week. Last week, we spoke with Jackie Blue, heading into the National Swiss Pairs at Tauranga Bridge Club. Here's the last few minutes of our chat.
The other thing I found in the analysis, women are really underrepresented at the top levels.
I just do wonder, like the mixed category, which is relatively sort of recent and is pretty popular, is quite a good way. Lots more women playing in that, obviously.
That's right.
You have to be.
I mean, it does seem to be a way for them to get to play at a high level and seems to be a growing category.
It's a stepping stone to give them confidence that, yes, they can play at the open level and that's something that is achievable. So that's all a good thing, I agree.
Mm. The intermediate thing, I think it's good for them to play in these sorts of events. And like you say, Swiss Pairs and teams events to the same extent are really good for that.
Yeah, I don't have stats on it. When I go to competitions and there's a mixture of different categories, the intermediates are the biggest thing. They're Absolutely. Hungry and they're competitive, and we need to push them through to open status, whatever way, to encourage them. And because let's face it, open players, as they get older, stop playing bridge. It's a group that will go down in size. We need to push our intermediates through. There needs to be some brainstorming how we can do that. Swiss events are one way they can get A points and get the confidence that, yes, everything is doable and achievable.
I haven't got the percentages in front of me, but certainly the vast majority of players are intermediate or junior. Mm. And yet, the amount, when you look at tournament players, the vast majority of them are not.
Exactly. Only 10% of our players are intermediates this weekend. That's a bit sad.
I'm pretty sure it would be over 80% of our membership would not be open.
Exactly. Yeah. And we need to get that group going up the scale. The journey is concluded. One our bridge game to progress into the future.
NZB did restructure and they created the restricted open grade. And it hasn't done what it was hoped to have done. And it only reaches significant numbers at Congress. It's tough for them. They understood the plight of the intermediates.
Yes.
And they created something, but it's not being used to its strength, which is a shame.
I agree. Well,
it's quite a small group. It's basically anybody intermediate and below probably is going to play in the intermediate category, and anybody open and above is going to play in that. So it's only a very small group of people that are in that group. Mariana's one of them, Jackie.
Can you just remind me what the criteria for a restricted open player is? How many A, B points?
It's all a bit vague, but I believe it's below National Master, which is
National Master or below.
So that's 175 A points. Up to 250 is the next category. That wouldn't be a big number of people, which is the problem.
You'd have quite a range of people too, but I've just got over the 50 A points and qualify as an open player, but a huge range from very experienced to just quite new in that status.
Well, I have experienced a whole lot of intermediates that would prefer not to play
Yes.
In the tagged open grade. Like me, I was busting my gut to actually get out of intermediate, so I kept playing. It depends, I guess, on how competitive you want to be yourself, and if you're cozy and just want to stick around intermediate. I believe that is sort of what people that play an intermediate grade do. They prefer to be nice and cozy in that grade.
Yeah. When the status changed in January 21 and a lot of open players went back to intermediate, in our club, you know, a number of intermediates said they were very happy to go back to intermediate. They didn't like it playing at the open level. And also they felt disillusioned. The ones that were unhappy about being demoted just couldn't be bothered trying. It all seemed too hard. Yeah, there's a mixture there, isn't there, Mariana? Bridge players naturally are competitive. And I think that group that does want to challenge themselves and progress, we need to give them every opportunity and help.
Funny how things, like I played in the Papatoa Christmas tournament last year, and it was just full of their local members. It was a 5A tournament, quite a strongish field. And yet they had people that were fresh out of lessons that year playing in it. They seemed happy there. But I know that, I think you were sort of suggesting, Jackie, that there's a lot of people saying, oh, you don't want to play that. It's too hard. You know, you don't want to play in an open. But yet at Papatoa, there they were. There was heaps of them having a great time.
It's wonderful to hear. And that's what it's all Bridge is about, having fun and mixing with others. And I think that perceptions an intermediate to play in an open section is huge. But in actual fact, it's just a little step. They would surprise themselves how well they could do if they challenged themselves.
If they keep playing in it, it'll get easier.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
All the best.
All right. Thank you very much. Hear ye, hear ye. The coat's in
session. The coat's in session. Now here come the judge. Here come and this judge. Is what the judge is having to deal with next week. Congratulations on second.
Yep, thank you. It was a very good practice.
Yeah. Awesome practice.
I'm sure the fact that they led nearly the whole way until the last round was a bit frustrating, but second is pretty damn good in a 28. Anyway, the question is, if one of the opponents makes a bid and you ask their partner what it means and their partner says, I can't remember, what happens?
They call the director.
I wonder what sentence the judge will rule next week. Well, that's enough for this week. I'm not too sure if you've got time to do a pick.
Look, I haven't, but there's 17 teams entered last I noticed. So the house team, which includes Mariana, will be playing if that happens. Good luck to everybody that's listening that's playing. Well, we'll see you on the weekend.
Take care, everybody, and see you at the table.
Yep, bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring Bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.